Welcome to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Mohamed Mirandi. For sure we want to talk about what's going on in Syria. And let me just mention at the outset of the program, G20 leaders met in St. Petersburg, Russia, yesterday and today. Shortly earlier, they wrapped up discussions. The time difference between New York and St. Petersburg, I believe, is 8 hours. I'm in Chicago. For me, it's 9 hours. Russia has many time zones. If I remember correctly, I think it's 6. Or maybe it's 8 or 9. I forget. Russia's a huge, huge country. I think it's 9 time zones, as a matter of fact, but I'd have to go back and check that. But I think St. Petersburg, more in the western part of the country, I believe it's 8 hours from New York. So things wrapped up. But, a number of dramatic things happening. Even at the end of the conference, there were press conferences held. Vladimir Putin, Russia's president, and Obama held separate press conferences. They had no formal meeting schedule. Obviously, they are on opposite ends of the pole when it comes to what to do about Syria. Putin is clear and unequivocal. He categorically opposes war, and he certainly does it forthrightly, and Obama is exactly the other extreme. Despite all evidence to the contrary, he lies and lies again, lies again and lies again. John Kerry does it. Other U.S. officials do it, making all kinds of fabricated accusations as pretexts to launch an aggressive war against Syria. Well, Obama had his say. It was so appalling, I couldn't bear to listen to him. I heard a few statements that Vladimir Putin made, and in an article I'm writing today, I discussed the most dramatic statement he made. He accused, he's done this before, but he did it in answer to reporters' questions. He accused the so-called rebels, I call them what they are, they're Western enlisted death squads imported from dozens of countries. You can call them insurgents. They're certainly not rebels. They certainly don't represent the Syrian people. They represent their own interests. They represent Western interests. They're against the interests of the Syrian people. And the vast majority of Syrians absolutely oppose them, and they do so very, very strongly. Assad has overwhelming support by his own people. But Putin accused the so-called rebels of launching the chemical attacks, and especially the big one on August 21st in the Damascus suburb of Ghouta. And indeed they did. All the evidence points in that direction. Assad had nothing whatsoever to do with it. We've discussed it on the program. Well, he just said it point blank, and he said it in answer to a reporter's question. And he said a number of times that Assad has had nothing to do with using chemical weapons. One of the phrases he used was those claiming that he did. He said any claims that they did are quote-unquote utter nonsense, and he used other strong terms. Mohammed, let me let you jump in here. I honestly see another war coming, and Obama's going to do it without Security Council authorization, which is fundamental. Without it, it's lawless aggression, and he said he'll do it no matter which way Congress votes.
Well, it seems that's the case, because the United States government from the very beginning was trying to prevent evidence from being gathered from the battlefield. You recall that when the attack was carried out, there were actually UN investigators in Damascus, very close to that place. And the U.S. government said that they tried to dissuade investigators from going initially. When the investigators did go, the American government said that it's too late. The government has destroyed the evidence, while in reality, the truth was that that area was not controlled by the government. It was controlled by the rebels, so the government had no access to destroy the evidence. The U.S. government said that the Syrian government delayed investigators, UN investigators, from going into the area. Then it came out that the Syrian government actually gave permission one day after the request was made by the UN on a weekend. So all the evidence shows that the U.S. government has been lying from the start. And now the United States government does not want to allow the UN investigators to give their report before they carry out an attack. So what? How can one? How can you conclude that the United States is being honest here?
Well, they're certainly not honest, and the investigators, as you know, Mohammed, have said the only thing they will do is analyze the soil and whatever other samples they've taken to determine if any kind of toxic elements were used in the area that they investigated around Ghouta. And they said they will not impose attribution. Attribution was the word they used. They will not come to a conclusion on who may or may not have used these toxic substances. So it's probably pretty likely that toxic substances were used. And the notion, John Kerry said 1,429 people were killed. An absurd number to use, Mohammed. You know, if you want to use a number, use a round number. What did Kerry do? Go out to the scene and count the bodies? 1,429. Well, France said something like, they used a less absurd number. If I remember, I had it in one of my articles, 281, I think, was the number they used. And Britain said that used a number, I believe, in the 200s. So the divergence between America's main NATO allies, France and Britain, differ markedly on a ratio of 5-1, 6-1, or something like that. Well, who knows how many people died? Who knows if the so-called video and photograph evidence is real or faked? It's so easy to fake. Anybody can make a video. I mean, Hollywood does this stuff all the time. So you can come up with any kind of video. You can show whatever they want to show wrapped in white sheets. You can call them bodies, whatever they want to do. Who knows how credible this stuff is? Although it's very likely there was some kind of an attack. It's very likely a good number of people were killed. It's very likely toxic weapons were used, and it's absolutely certain that the Syrian government had nothing to do with it.
Well, an important thing to keep in mind is that the UN investigators can actually discover whether the chemicals were used, were professionally made, were made in a factory that produces chemical weapons or not. And that's partially one reason why they were able to discover on previous occasions that the rebels actually did use chemical weapons. Carla Del Ponte, the UN representative who investigated chemical attacks in Syria, she pointed out that a few months ago that it's almost certain that a previous attack that was carried out, a chemical attack, was indeed carried out by the rebels. So the UN has already produced evidence that rebels have used chemical weapons in the past. Also, the point that you mentioned is very important. Right before Obama claimed that 1,400 people were killed, the British Prime Minister said 300 and some were killed in the Parliament right before he lost the vote to go to war against Syria. I think Obama needed to inflate the numbers in order to gain more support. But whether it's 1,400 or 300-something, the point is that all the evidence points to the rebels. Previous attacks were carried out by the rebels. The Americans tried to prevent the UN from gaining access to the area that was contaminated. And, of course, the Syrian government was winning the war in the first place. Besides, it has an incentive to bring in chemical weapons into the equation were the rebels, because obviously they knew that that would bring in the United States and the wrath, or the so-called wrath of the United States, upon the Syrian government. So from now on, the rebels know that every time they carry out a chemical attack, the U.S. government will go after the Syrian government. So in a sense, the United States is actually encouraging further use of chemical weapons, because A, they're unwilling to wait for a proper investigation to be carried out, and B, they are condemning the Syrian government without any proof. So for now, any act that is carried out will be blamed on the Syrian government. This encourages further mass murder, and it will bring further involvement of the United States in Syria. And besides being a criminal act, it's a repetition of history, because in the 1980s, the United States government helped Saddam Hussein use chemical weapons against Iran. And then, according to WikiLeaks documents, I think people should use search engines and look these things up, it's important, they actually told their diplomats, the U.S. government, to blame Iran for the attacks. So they blamed the victim for the attacks that they were involved in. That sort of deception, those crimes against humanity in the 1980s were carried out with deception, and it seems that it is quite possible that we're seeing a repetition of history. If the United States is truly honest with the U.S. government, they would allow the inspectors to give their report for investigators not to be intimidated to do their work properly, and I think that's what the U.S. public wants to see, and that's what the international community wants to see. And the foolishness of Obama is what is driving the whole international community away from the United States and isolating America. China, it's not just China and Russia, it's Brazil, it's Latin America. Countries throughout the world, except for a handful, are completely opposed to what the United States is doing, and they see this as a repetition of U.S. government aggression that we've seen over the past decade. And what is worst of all is the fact that the United States in the past was invading country after country in the name of fighting against Al-Qaeda, and now in Syria what they're doing is they've become allies of Al-Qaeda. And as one U.S. senator said, the United States is now in danger of becoming Al-Qaeda's air force.
Oh, indeed so, Mohammed. I must say that I think maybe the two things that frustrate me the most, on the one hand, the largely indifferent feeling of the U.S. public. I remember the 1960s and 1970s so well. There was such strong anti-war activism. There was great activism for civil rights reforms. There always was a pro-labor activism, and that was so prominent back in those years. And except for the Occupy Wall Street movement, that began in September 2011, if I have my precise date right, I believe September 2011. It's a shadow of its former self. It's trying to revive itself, and I plan an article on the second ahead of the second anniversary. September 2011. I plan an article ahead of the second anniversary coming up very, very shortly. It'll be later this month on what did happen to the movement and what's it doing and where might it be going. But I'm frustrated by that, and I'm equally frustrated by the fact that I've documented chapter and verse that Obama literally, in my opinion, is by far the most lawless president America ever had. I mean, it's there in black and white. Anybody can research it, can find the same stuff that I do. It's clear evidence. He exceeds the worst of George Bush. I mean, waging multiple proxy and direct wars. They go on one after another, and he claims to be a peace president. He deplores peace based on his actions. You got to forget what these people say. You got to watch what they do. And despite all of that, my frustration, Mohammed, is half the country still supports this guy, including the most disadvantaged people in the country who should be the strongest opponents of what he's doing because he's harmed them so much. He's forced austerity that's taken people off food stamps, that's depriving them of needed medical care, that's doing all kinds of stuff. He's increasing homelessness, increasing hunger, all kinds of deprivation coming in America because of his policies, and also wasting trillions of dollars fighting these imperial wars. Where are these people? Why aren't they rising up against him? So Obama still has about 50% support. I can't imagine why he'd have anything more than 10% support, why they haven't been screaming calls to impeach him. I do it all the time. I just wrote an article I titled Impeach Obama Now. Anybody can Google that title with my name, Impeach Obama Now. There it is in black and white, how to do it. I collaborated with Francis Boyle on it. I used a text that he used against George Bush in 2003, and I made appropriate changes to pull out what was not appropriate for Obama and put in what was, and Francis went through what I wrote and gave me a very strong thumbs up on what it was, and that article is easily accessible. Simply Google my name and that title, you'll see what it is, and you'll see the crimes that this man rightfully should be charged with. But where's the American public? Why aren't they speaking out? Those two frustrations hurt me so much, And one more thing, I'm encouraged by what's going on now because there's growing world opposition to what Obama plans, and not only world leaders in important countries, but also ordinary people, including in America. And it could be that Obama's plan this time, it may end up shooting himself in the foot, and that's my great hope. And if that's the case, watch his approval ratings to plunge.
Well, you know, one reason why Obama may still have a 50% approval rating is because people continue to see him as their last hope, some people, in this political order that currently exists in the United States. The United States has been driven into the ground, basically, over the last couple of decades by overextending its empire. And George Bush did a great job in destroying everything that was good about the United States and in destroying a couple of countries in the process. So when Obama came, he came in the name of change. And that's why so many people pinned their hopes on him. And that's one reason why he's worse than Bush, because he betrayed the trust of so many desperate Americans to see a different America. But I think maybe one reason why many people still cling to him is because they don't see any option in this political order. The United States, whether Democratic or Republican, wages war after war. It comes at the expense of ordinary Americans, deprived Americans. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. More countries get invaded or occupied or bombed, or drone attacks take place repeatedly in these different countries. And so I think that many people know really that Obama is no different than Bush, but they still cling to this false hope. But the only way to bring about change is for people to stand up against this war and to force the United States government to finally end all of this. If the United States goes to war in Syria, I think it will be a great tragedy for the United States itself, because it is driving the whole international community away from the United States. People across the globe are becoming to dislike, have come to dislike the United States. And that is an injustice to ordinary Americans, because ordinary Americans, if they knew what was going on, they would have nothing to do with these outrageous attacks. I mean, Kerry, and Obama are both consistently lying to the American people. Kerry just recently said that in Syria, there is no Al-Qaeda, or they are not significant, whereas anyone who knows anything about Syria knows that the main fighting force in the country against the government is Al-Qaeda, the same Al-Qaeda that the United States has supposedly been fighting for over a decade now. Osama bin Laden was the head of Al-Qaeda. And now in Syria, you have it as a major fighting force. But Kerry, in order to justify the bombing of the country, the destruction of Syrian infrastructure, the terrorization of the Syrian public, saying that in Syria there is no Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is not a formidable force. And then once people across the globe hear that, how can they believe anything that comes from the United States anymore? So I really believe that if ordinary Americans, really open their eyes to the reality, they'll recognize that Obama is never going to bring about change. Obama is morally just as criminal as Bush was, but the only way to stop further bloodshed and further problems for ordinary Americans is for the American people to make a stand this time.
Well, I absolutely agree, Mohammed, absolutely. And I think Obama himself, by what he plans for Syria and all the lies that have been spread, maybe setting the table for his own plunge in popularity. I want to raise 2 points, an important one and a very quick one. I mean, opposition to what he's doing is coming from all quarters. I have an article that I'll put out tomorrow. I wrote it this morning, Global Opposition to Attacking Syria. And in it, I have a press release put out by former U.S. Service Academy graduates, West Point, Annapolis, the Air Force Academy, and the headline reads, U.S. Service Academy graduates oppose bombing Syria. Second quote, flimsy evidence. Political bombast drives yet another reckless, immoral war. If military academy graduates oppose Obama, oh, that is a very encouraging sign, because these guys get into this kind of stuff because they are, as they would put it, very patriotic. They want to do whatever they can to defend America, go to war for America, and so on. And I don't know how many people are involved in this, but there they are. A big issue I want to raise is this. I intend to write about it today. I may do it. I'll either do it.
Yes, but I think one thing should be corrected. I think one thing, though, should be corrected, and that there is no flimsy evidence. It is all fabricated evidence. The United States government knows that it is lying. It knows that it is falsely attributing an attack to the Syrian government. Obama and the administration know that the Syrian government was not behind the attack. Previous attacks were carried out by Al-Qaeda, as we know, as the UN has stated. The United States never reacted to those attacks, despite the deaths, despite people dying and footage of those people dying existing on YouTube. The point is that the United States wants to strengthen the opposition to the Syrian government for its own short-term and foolish, in fact, interests. And in the long term, it's not in the interest of the United States. But what the United States is trying to do is actually help Al-Qaeda to regain its strength in Syria, because it's been losing against the Syrian government.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is utter foolishness.
Let me interrupt you, because I want to get to this other major issue. I would just say I absolutely agree with you wholeheartedly. And the war is more than an immoral war. It's an illegal war. But here's the big thing I wanted your comments on. There were reports floating around that America, again, intercepted, quote-unquote, so-called Iranian orders to attack American interests in response to Obama attacking Syria. I mean, that sounds like more fabricated, intercepted communications. What are your comments on that?
Well, let's all remember the fabricated information about Saddam Hussein's links to Al-Qaeda, and how Al-Qaeda leaders had meetings in Iraq, and how they had intercepted communications, and they had information that they were leaders of Al-Qaeda were coming and going to Iraq. This was part of the evidence that was provided to convince the American public and people outside the United States that the United States had to invade Iraq. And then when the invasion took place, not only, of course, were there no weapons of mass destruction, but there was no evidence whatsoever that Al-Qaeda was in Iraq. In fact, as a result of the American invasion, Al-Qaeda entered Iraq. But all one has to do is to remember Colin Powell's presentation at the UN. It's a very good thing for ordinary Americans to go back right now and watch the footage of that speech one more time and see how from beginning to end, it was all lies. All the so-called declassified intelligence, all the information that was given out there and the PowerPoint and all the so-called, the smoking gun and so on and so forth, all of it was a complete fabrication. None of it was true. And so no one can believe the United States any longer. Whenever the United States government wants to attack a country, they will say, they will fabricate information. And as I said, if the American people want to destroy their own economy, they want to destroy their own future, well, then they should allow the U.S. government to continue down that path. But we've already seen how life has become so difficult in the United States over the past decade or so. If the American people make a stand here, then this trend can be reversed. But if the American people do not make a stand, then not only will the Syrian people suffer and the region suffer and the world suffer, but the United States and its people will, in a sense, suffer more than anyone else, because they will pay a price for this, and they will also be despised. The United States will be despised across the globe But ordinary Americans who stand up to this new aggression, I think, are heroes in the eyes of the international community.
Well, I certainly concur with that, Mohammed. I think everybody suffers. The more wars that America wages, and America literally has a permanent war policy. I've discussed this before on air. I've written several articles about the permanent war policy. You can go back into the historical record, and I've got it outlined chapter and verse over many, many pages, that there hasn't been a single year in U.S. history that America has not been at war at home and or abroad, not a single year of peace. There is no other country in world history, and America hasn't been around as long as many others, but in 240 years or so, every single year, and before 1776, before America became a nation, the colonies were at war with its own native people. It raged for decades, and it continued after 1776, and it's raging now, and it shows no signs of ending. And there's only one ending I see possible, Mohammed, if somehow this doesn't stop, and I use the phrase ending with mushroom-shaped cloud finality. I mean, that's the ultimate conclusion of this. You either find a way to stop wars, or everyone will perish, and it won't just be Americans or Syrians or Iranians, Mohammed. It literally will be everyone. You start tossing around nuclear bombs. I've written about nuclear winter. It's not something anybody wants to risk having let happen, but the possibility is very real, and if we don't stop these wars, I absolutely am convinced it's going to happen someday, and that'll be the end. It'll be curtains.
Well, when the United States constantly invades country after country and breaks international law or gives weapons to rebels, as in Syria, breaking international law, or carries out drone attacks in multiple countries, making ordinary people outraged and creating greater hatred towards the United States, then what is to stop other countries from pursuing similar policies? The United States is destroying international law. It is wrecking the international order with all its tremendous faults. But what the United States is doing is it's destroying all of this, because it is the first country that is repeatedly showing complete disrespect for any form of international law. And so if the Russian government carries out attacks, or if local governments and states carry out attacks on neighboring states or against their own people, international law no longer has that respect anymore, and there's nothing there to stop them. But in any case, regarding the current issue, the United States is being dishonest to its own people, and it's making the United States deeply unpopular across the globe, and it is going to hurt ordinary Americans even more, despite the fact that Americans are hurting a lot now. And the only way to stop this is for ordinary Americans to take a stand, as I said.
Mohammed, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on today. You're in the region. You have seen firsthand what's going on, and we can all observe. I certainly hope and pray that what's going on in Syria will not be Iran's fate next, because we both know that America has long-standing regime change plans made. It wants no independent sovereign country remaining, not under its influence, and it's willing to go to war to get what it wants. Mohammed, I look forward to having you back again. Remind listeners, please join us this weekend. We're on Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll spend a little bit of time over the weekend discussing the upcoming 12th anniversary of the 9/11 attack that was state-sponsored terrorism all the way, and I've got a couple of experts coming on to talk about that. Please do join us.